going to talk about worry.
Are you on?
I am on.
Worried.
Are you worried? So the title is Worrier or Warrior. I think I might need some help. So if there are any children who are brave enough to come and join me down the front, please do come and help me. Help me. Come and help me. You just sit down here and there'll be various things. Now, Elise needs some friends. Come on, come on, come on down. Come on down. I might have to call on some older people because I've got some other things. Are you going to come, girls? All right. Well, thank you for coming to join me. So I'm going to ask you, but I'll ask this lot as well. Does anybody here ever worry? Yeah? Anybody else worry ever? Yeah? What do you... I'll have the other microphone. Oh, I can be two mic Mary. How about that? What do you worry about?
Mostly everything.
Mostly everything. Oh, dear!
At night time.
Night time is sometimes worse, isn't it? What do you worry about?
Maths.
Maths? Yeah, do you? Maths. Do you have worries about schoolwork?
Yes.
Oh. Help me, help me. Okay, I can use this if it's better. What about any of the grown-ups? What do you worry about?
Money.
Money,
sex and power.
Life. Money, sex and power. Health. Health, the children. Do you get worried about, hey?
Terrorism. Yeah.
Terrorism, things that are happening around the world. Going on holiday and there being an earthquake. Yeah. Was it? Well, it was a welcome earthquake. So today we're going to think a little bit about what the Bible says about worrying. And I've been looking in my Bible, and I looked in my New Living Translation, and worry was mentioned 38 times. So it's obviously something that isn't new. People in Bible days worried. In fact, people have probably always worried. So God knows about it. And he has some things to say about worrying. Now, most of the things that are in the Bible talk about don't worry, not do worry. And I was even looking at Facebook this week, and there was, you know, Tom and Susie, who come to see us every year. Tom posted something about worry, and he said, worry is evaluating the future without God in the equation. So that's more one for the grown-ups to think about. Worry is evaluating the future without God in the equation. So if you bring God into the equation, the sort of reason for worry goes away. So that's a thought to hold on to, isn't it? So I'm just going to read quickly some of these things that the Bible says. So in Psalm 37, verse 7, it says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. So that's probably quite a good one for us today when we look around the world and we see the things that are happening. Because it's easy to worry, isn't it? You can think, is it safe to go on holiday to Spain? Is it safe to go on a trip up to London with all these terrorist things that are happening? But the Bible says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about the things that are happening around about. In Proverbs 12, verse 25, it says, worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up. Now that's interesting, that the picture that goes with that. So it's like worry weighs you down, sort of makes you a bit under it, under pressure. An encouraging word cheers you up, almost makes you taller, cheerier. Yeah. We'll look at that a bit more later on when we look at what Jesus says. Now this is an interesting one from Ecclesiastes. interesting book to find in the Bible, just a little one in the middle. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 10. It says, "So refuse to worry and keep your body healthy." So that's interesting. Could there be a link between worrying and being healthy? And do we have a choice? It says refuse to worry. It's almost like you have a decision. Do you want to worry? Or do you want to be happy? Oh, I think I'll worry today. Sometimes we don't feel that we have that choice. But here the Bible's saying that we do have that choice. And this is a quote by Brian, and I've been reading a book by a lady called Dr. Caroline Leaf, and it's all about the brain and how and thinking. And we'll probably talk more generally to the whole church about that in the coming weeks as we ponder it a bit more. But one of the things that she said, researchers have shown that between 75% and 95% of the illnesses that plague us today are a direct result of our thought life. That's a bit shocking, isn't it? What we think about affects us physically and emotionally. And so if we could, as a church, as a people, actually get rid of our toxic thoughts, our bad thoughts, and live without them, that's going to be a transformation, isn't it? That is the renewing of the mind that is talked about in Romans 12. In Romans 8, it says, "I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." So a comforting thing, we can worry, but it's not going to separate us from God's love. God's love is bigger than our worry. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." And sometimes if we find we can give our worries to God, we feel lighter. You know, there's that whole thing about being burdened by worry. If we can give them to God, we feel lighter. What we're going to look at this morning is what Jesus says about worry. So if we can have the next slide. This is when Jesus was teaching. He said, "That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life." So Jesus says, don't worry. It's almost like a command. "Don't worry about whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life or a single centimetre to your height?" So we're going to do a little experiment. We're going to see if we can worry ourselves taller. Okay? Anybody else who wants to join in can come and join in. But can you stand up? You can join in, yeah. Come and join in if you want to. See, who would like to be taller?
I'd rather be taller.
Anybody? Yeah, you'd like to be taller?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
No. You will be taller.
You will be taller. The good news is you will be taller because you're growing. Some of us have stopped growing, and I think sometimes you start to get a bit shorter when you get older, as well. But okay, so I want you to concentrate really hard on how tall you are. And then I want you to think, "Oh, I wish I was taller. I wish I was taller. I wish I was taller. I wish I was taller." And get really tense in this side. "Wish I was taller. I wish I was taller." Okay? You do that? You getting taller? Are you getting taller?
Yep.
That's cheating. I didn't bring a tape measure, but do you think you're taller? In a sense, you might be taller because you are growing. But You can't just worry yourself taller, can you? Do you think if you worried a lot, you would live longer?
No.
Could you worry?
About dying.
You might worry about dying. Yeah. Does that make it come quicker if you worry about it? Thank you very much. So then Jesus goes on to say, why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers, they're here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So, next slide. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Instead, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Wow. So, in terms of Jesus and his teaching, what he says to us, he says, don't worry. We're tempted to worry. The Psalm, the Ecclesiastes says, refuse to worry. Jesus says, don't worry. Instead of worrying, know how valuable you are to God. If you really know how valuable you are to God and how much he loves you, that makes a difference. Know that God certainly cares for you. And also know that God already knows your needs. So it's like having a great dad, whether you're this big or whether you're this big, who really cares for you, he really knows your needs, and you're really, really precious to him. So we've got quite a few little people here who have great dads, who really, really love them and care for them and know their needs. But God is an even more incredible dad than that. So, and Jesus also says at the end, he sums it all up and he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live right, and then God will give you all that you need. It's like trust him. Trust that he really is that God who he says he is. So if we really know these things, we don't have anything left to worry about. God has it all covered. He knows and he loves us. He loves you and he loves me. So instead of worrying, Jesus says we should seek the kingdom of God. So that's all very easy, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it? Yeah. So what is the kingdom of God? What's it like? Any ideas? No ideas what the kingdom... How can we seek it if we don't know what it's like? No? It's peaceful. Peaceful.
Full of joy.
Full of joy. These sound good things to seek.
Peaceful.
Full of love. Pardon?
Full of paradise.
Yeah. Somewhere that you want to go, isn't it? Somewhere worth seeking. It's like when you think, where am I going to go on holiday this year? Oh, I could quite fancy going to the kingdom of heaven. Actually, we can live there all the time. That's what Jesus says. So if you look at Jesus' teaching, he told a lot of stories, a lot of parables that try to help us understand what the kingdom of God is like. And... let me see if I can find my Bible on here. So in Luke chapter 15, there are quite a few stories together. Now the first couple, the first ones are about things that have been lost and are trying to find them. So this is good for seeking. The kingdom of heaven Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go and search for the one that's lost until he finds it? When he's found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he'll call together all his friends and neighbours, saying, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." In the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So that the kingdom of God is like the shepherd who's looking for his lost sheep. So there's a real searching, a real seeking that's there. And then there's a real rejoicing when it's found. Now, I've lost a sheep. I brought a sheep with me today, as you do, you know, often bring a little sheep to church. It's about this big. So it's not huge. And it's somewhere around the front of the church. So I do need some help trying to find this sheep. So can we have a couple of minutes looking for it on a sheep hunt? You've seen it. Thank you very much. There's great rejoicing. Woo! Here's my little sheep. He was lost, but now he's found. Yay! I wonder if he can perch. Can peek through there. No. Put him down here. You can join in. He's a sweet little sheep. I think James gave me that. I think Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. Well, one looks a bit grubby. He followed her to church one day. It was against the rules. Another story that Jesus told was about a woman who had 10 silver coins and she lost one. He says, "Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she'll have a party." There's a recurrent theme here. She'll call in her friends and neighbours and say, "Rejoice with me because I found my lost coin." In the same way, there's joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Now, I haven't lost a coin. I know where my coins are. But these are coins that have been put together when we've come back from our holiday. They're from all sorts of different countries. Now, in here, I've got some loonies. Does anybody know what a loonie is? Brian knows.
Trevor should know.
Trevor. Can't quite remember. It is from Canada. It's a dollar coin, and it's from Canada. And it's got a Canada goose on the back of it. And so the loonie is $1. What do you think they might call the $2? Toonie. So I've got a toonie, and I've got about 4 loonies in here. And I need some help to find them. The big clue is on one side. I said on one side there's the Canada goose. On the other side, there's the king or queen's head. So who's the king or queen of Canada? Queen Elizabeth, that's right. So we know what her face looks like because it's the same as the face that's on our coins. So can someone come and have a look? Someone help me?
Found one?
Yeah? Yay. Oh, that's not got the goose on.
I found two.
You found the two? Excellent. I think there's one more loony and then there's the toonie. So what about the toonie? Can we find that one? This will be very handy, Brian, for when we go to Canada. We're hoping to go to Canada next year for our holiday. No, it's a bigger one, and it's two colours. It's a bit like our £2 coin. No, it's not. That's got the two on it, and it's got the Queen's head. Oh, what's that? $2. Oh, what's this then? This is a little one, and it says $2. Must be from another country. Australia. Oh, you got it. Well done. Fantastic. Oh, that's got a bear on it. Wow. Bear on the back. Thank you very much. So there's great rejoicing. Certainly in the Spencer household. I think there's safe there. So the kingdom of heaven is a bit like trying to find something that's lost. Or in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about some more parables. So he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. What do you think he did? Found some treasure in a field. What do you think he did next? Sorry? Shared it out. No, he didn't. He didn't do that straight away. He sold everything he had so he could buy that field. Wow, it must have been good treasure, mustn't it? Can you imagine? What do you think it was worth? Do you think it was worth more than everything he had before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Again, another thing Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he, what do you think he did? He didn't sell the pearl because it wasn't his to sell. He sold everything he had in order to get the pearl. So Jesus is saying this kingdom that we're supposed to be seeking is so valuable that it's worth selling everything we have in order to get it. It's really, really valuable. Have you ever found any treasure? Anybody ever found any treasure? Might have found a little nice stone on the beach. It's like treasure. Have you found some? What did you find, Rose? Sorry, Otto, I can't hear what Rose is saying. So, crystals on the beach, yes. Sometimes the things. And Otto, what did you find yesterday? Oh, did you? That's not treasure. Who is the murderer? Well, I suppose it's important to know, isn't it?
Keep saying.
We have actually on the beach at Southwold. Yes, they have sort of trips to go out and search for amber, which is a precious stone. And we've been underground as well, where they have Blue John in Derbyshire. It's not quite looking for treasure. So if you're going on a treasure hunt, how do you go about it? I suppose you know. Get a map, yeah. Do you have any special equipment?
Metal detector.
I was looking for a video on YouTube for someone who found some treasure, and I looked at a couple of these videos of people with their metal detectors. But they weren't actually that interesting. It didn't sound as exciting as the stories that Jesus told when they found this amazing treasure and they went away and sold everything they had and came back to buy the treasure so they could have it. There was somebody who found a great mound of old coins, and they had... There are laws about if you find some things that you have to declare them, don't you, to the government. And I don't know whether you, in the end, you get something.
It depends on the amount.
You get up to half sometimes. Depends on the owner. If the landowner's permission, you share something with the landowner.
Okay, right. Well, finding the treasure, which is the kingdom of heaven, is something that you don't have, in a sense, you don't have to share with anybody else. And yet, you can share it with everybody that you know. And it's a treasure that is so valuable, it's worth giving up everything else for, to have that treasure. So how can we actually find it? Do we need to get a metal detector? I don't think we can find it with a metal detector. we might need something special. So Jesus talked about this kingdom. He says, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom." So we probably can't find it by digging a hole. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. Ooh. So it's not of this world. It's not something that we can touch and feel and see. Now, in Romans 14, verse 17, Paul said something about the kingdom. He said, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So God's kingdom isn't of this world. It's not to do with what we eat or drink or what we wear or what we play with or the jobs that we go and do. It's about who we are on the inside. It's about what we think and feel in our heart and mind. In fact, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of the heart. Next picture, next slide. So with our coins, we saw on one side of the coin, we've got a picture of who our king or queen is. And at the moment, it's Queen Elizabeth. We live in a united kingdom. So if you have a kingdom, you've got a king or a queen. So in the kingdom of heaven, who is the king? God. Jesus is the king. So if the kingdom of heaven is in your heart, it's a heart kingdom, is Jesus the king in your heart? Yeah. So... yeah. If God is the king in our heart, that's where we'll find the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? So if we're going to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then we're going to need to look in our hearts and find Jesus there. And we can all do that. We can take some practice to do it, but the more we do it, the easier it will become. It can be just like seeking for treasure. So shall we go on a treasure hunt together?
Yes.
Yes? So I'm going to show some pictures on the screen behind and read some words. And they're from this book by Brad Jersak, Children, Can You Hear Me? And it's got lots of exercises for looking into your heart and finding Jesus. And then... we'll get some ideas of where you might find Jesus. For me, every morning for about half an hour, I go off to the Sea of Galilee, on the seashore of the Sea of Galilee, and I meet Jesus there in my heart. And that makes a lot of difference to my life.
Sometimes Max comes along.
So we're going to see that in the different pictures, it will give you some different ideas of where you might meet with Jesus. And you can meet with Jesus in different places in your heart, but you might find some places are become more precious than others. So can we have the first slide, please? So, children, can you hear me? Of course you can. So it says children, we're all children, okay? We can be 80 years old, we're still a child. Or we can be a new baby, and we can still hear him. Of course you can. Just call on me and I will answer you. Some call me God or Lord. Others call me Jesus. What do you call me? You can call on me by praying. Praying is talking to me, just like you talk to your friends. When you talk to me, I hear you and answer you. I come to you and show myself to you. It's kind of like show and tell. Next slide. You won't usually hear me with your ears or see me with your eyes, although I might surprise you. But your heart will see me. Your heart will hear me. And your heart will know me. That's because I made you. Next slide. Meet me in your imagination. Your imagination is a place where your heart can create just about anything. I gave you your imagination. Do you like it? You can use your imagination to think about good things or bad things, but I gave it to you so you could meet, so that we could meet there together. If you could build any place with your imagination, what would it look like? Wow, I like it. I'll meet you there. Next slide. When you pray, you aren't just talking to me. We're talking to each other. We're hanging out, just like you hang out with your friends. I love hanging out with you. Come close and talk to me. I'm the best listener ever. Tell me about your day. What made you happy? What made you sad? How about a hug? Next slide. One of my favourite places is your heart. Can you believe that? Your heart is where I live. I've made it my special home. Close your eyes. What does your heart place look like? Some people see a sturdy castle. Others see a cozy cabin or a fancy playhouse. What do you see? Can you see me there? What am I doing? What am I saying? What shall we do? What shall we play? Next slide. Another favourite place of mine is my throne room. See my throne. What does it look like? See me sitting there. What am I wearing? Look, I have such a big lap. Come on up and sit for a while. The world looks interesting from here. Wow, look at all those people. And how about all those angels? Lean your ear against my chest. Can you hear my heart beating? It's beating with love for you. Next slide. Do you remember my cross? You can meet me there too. Do you see me? My cross is a good place to leave your burdens. A burden is anything that makes you feel bad. What makes you feel bad? Would you like to leave it here with me? I'll take all of your burdens, if you like. They're much easier for me to carry. No problem at all. Can I have them? So hopefully now you'll have chosen a favourite place where you can meet with Jesus. If you're sitting comfortably, that's fine. Or we can, if you want to come and lie down, you can play like sleeping lions. That's helpful. So we're just going to have about 5 minutes to spend some time alone with Jesus. And then we'll come back together again. I'm going to put some music on and we'll all close our eyes and find that secret place and just meet with Jesus. So you can put the music on. Spirit to speak a blessing over you. I bless your spirit to hear the love of God for you, to receive the love of the Father. I bless your spirit to know that you are a son or daughter of the King of Kings. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. That's great. So we've got one last slide. So this is just to summarise what Jesus said. He said, don't worry about life. You are far more valuable to Jesus than the birds. Worry can't make you live longer or grow taller. God cares for the flowers, and he certainly cares for you. Your Heavenly Father knows everything you need. Don't worry. Instead, seek Jesus and his kingdom in your heart. Live right and true, and God will look after all your needs. Amen.